better? All right. Good. I know we had a youth thing here this week, so we kind of, things are a little out of sorts up here. Oh, there you go. Tim's reading my mind, aren't you, Tim? Thank you. That's a scary thing, boy, if you could do that. Yeah, he said he doesn't read fiction, is what he told me. Well, I've been waiting 30 years to use that line. Isn't that awesome? She just walked right into that. Hey, I am glad that you are here this morning. You know, let me kind of give you a roadmap of where we're going. Today we're going to finish up our series, God Didn't Say That. And then next Sunday, something really neat, next Sunday is actually Youth Sunday. So the youth are going to be responsible and for all of the service. And of course, Pastor Alex has some things that he's going to share with you. It's not going to be a typical sermon, though. He's going to be sharing a lot of video and pictures from the history of our youth ministry and stuff. It's going to be really neat. So next Sunday will be that. And then the following Sunday, for, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks, we're going to be studying the life of John the Baptist. And boy, I've really been enjoying this. John the Baptist, man, what a tremendous voice in the wilderness, declaring the lordship of Christ. And we're going to be looking at that, looking at different aspects of John's life and ministry, and what that can teach us. But I want to finish up today this idea about things that God did not say. You know, it's amazing to me when you think about, you know, when someone passes away, you know, there's of course, they go from life to death to eternal life, but I'm amazed sometimes about how we talk about that. Let me give you an example of what I mean. There's times that people will say to me, you know, Pastor John, my father, my uncle, my neighbor, they're really, really sick. And you know, I'm not sure that they even know the Lord. And please pray, you know, for their salvation. You know, pray that I can say something to them that would help them find that and accept that. And always take that very seriously. But then a lot of times, what happens is a person like that, they pass away, having never made any kind of at least in a change that could be seen or understood by people around them. But a lot of times when they pass, people will say things like, well, you know what, they're better off. You know, they're in a better place. And it's amazing to me how sometimes we so easily switch from thinking, you know what, this person doesn't know Christ and I'm concerned about them, to this point of, you know what, I just, and usually what people say is they say things like, well, you know what, I'm just sure that in their mind and in their heart that they made the decision that they need to make. Or they say something about God of, you know, God is so loving and God is so kind and so forgiving. I know that He has a place for them in heaven. And you know, it just lends itself to this understanding of this thought that I want to share with you today, that an awful lot of people think that it really doesn't matter what you believe. You ever heard that? It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you accept as truth. You know, they say it a lot of times. People will say, you know, all roads lead to heaven. All roads lead to God. And people may take a different path, even a path of not believing at all. But they seem to think that God is going to come through in the end and give them everything that He's going to give anyone else. You see, I think what this says is that to a large degree, there's very little controversy about God. Most people believe in God. Most people understand spirituality, and it's something that they desire in life. Most people don't even have a problem believing in Jesus Christ as far as His existence goes. No one debates His existence. Even detractors acknowledge that he lived. They'll even say things like, you know what? I love Jesus' teaching. I love how he helped the poor. I love how he blessed people, how he served people, how he forgave people. But there's one sentence that came from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is undeniably one that you and I and the whole world must come to grips with. Now, before I share this verse with you, I want to tell you that he actually quoted this, said this, in conjunction with the discussion about heaven. You remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. There are many rooms, there's many mansions, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and I'm going to take you so that you can be where I am for all of eternity. And then Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, folks, let me begin today by saying that all religions of the world are not the same. I mean, I would admit to you that there's beautiful things about all religions, some things about them. I would agree with you if you said, you know, that there's truth in different religions, even all religions of the world, but they're not all the same. We must never think that all the roads of every religion in the world leads to the same thing. I heard somebody tell me one time, they said that you know, I know that all religions don't have the same teachings about Jesus Christ, but they talk about God, they talk about a higher power, they talk about eternal life, and that's ultimately what we want to get to have. So their understanding was that they all lead the same way, but it's not true. I mean, Buddhism, for example, they don't believe in any kind of God. Buddhists simply believe that you have this countless cycle of rebirth over and over and over again, that you just live and then you come back and you live as something else and then you live as something else and you're reincarnated as something else and on we go. As a matter of fact, I was having a conversation with Dave Reese, a friend of mine here at church, and Dave and Mary Jo, his wife, they got this brand new little dog, and she's been posting all these pictures on it, and I kind of had this on my mind when I was talking to Dave. And I said, you know what, Dave, I don't believe in reincarnation, but if I did, I would love to come back as one of Mary Jo's animals. They have a pretty good existence. But listen, folks, we don't, all religions are not the same. Hinduism, they believe in this totally impersonal God. That you only approach God through idols or through statues or through deities. You kind of come at God from the back door because he's so impersonal. Matter of fact, neither Buddhism or Hinduism offer forgiveness of sins and supernatural help for the believer. If you know anything about that, those religions, they leave it up to karma, that it'll just catch up to you at some point. Of course, Muslims in our world today, they worship Allah, a personal God, but no secondary God of any kind. And you know, they have the ban on you know, so many different things because your standing with Allah depends on your religious devotion and your works. You see, that's what makes the difference between so many religions and Christianity. And just to say the word, I think, teaches you everything you need to know, is that, and that is grace. Aren't you thankful for grace? Aren't you thankful for the grace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord? So many people today try to find God through this new age kind of system and belief. You know, they talk about a higher consciousness. They talk about a higher universe, a divergent cosmos. They're not the same. Christianity talks about a personal God that created us in His image, that sent His only begotten, one and only Son to show us His love, to demonstrate His forgiveness. Listen, folks, all the religions of the world are not the same. While they may have some things that are beautiful and even truthful, there's some major differences that have eternal consequences. Listen, folks, our life here together, it's not about religion. I mean, Jesus didn't come to start a religion. I mean, he didn't talk about the narrow way in order for us to be judgmental and to question everyone's understanding about everything. But Jesus Christ came to develop a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And here's the thing, folks. He came and He died for each and every one of us. And Paul says more than once in the New Testament that we should never be ashamed of that gospel. We should never be ashamed of what Christ has done for us. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk to you about this idea of reflection. Of reflecting. Now, before we get into this, let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about here. You know, Arlene at home, she does this real neat thing for our dogs. She will go to the grocery store and she'll buy these soup bones, these marrow bones, these bones that are cut off of the large bones of cattle, and the store will get them, will cut them up, and will freeze them, and you can buy them there, and they still have a lot of ligaments and things on them. They still have the marrow in the middle of them. And it's so, you're talking about reflection, okay? It is so interesting. She'll give one of these bones to our dogs, and poor Wilson, our golden doodle, he'll take it, and he'll just walk around the house for about 2 hours. And he's whining, oh, I can't believe she gave me this. And he'll just walk around, and he'll lay down, and he'll just lay it on the floor in front of him, and he'll just kind of look at it, and he'll pick it up, and he'll walk around. He'll be all over the place, and I just think, you know, he's just contemplating how good this is going to be. And I'm serious; it takes him hours before finally gets to the point, and he'll just lay down somewhere, and he will just absolutely go to town for hours. You know, he'll stick that long tongue of his all the way through this bone, and like, you know, to get the marrow from all of, you know, and it just in and out. I mean, he'll wear his tongue raw on this bone, but he just will not quit until it's just totally clean, totally dry. And then he just stands up and he walks over to Arlene and he says, "That was wonderful." What does it mean to reflect, to contemplate, to chew on something? You know, to think about how grand something is and what your enjoyment of it is going to be like. You see, that's what he does. I want to encourage all of us here today to have that same kind of experience with our relationship with Jesus Christ. I just want to reflect on Jesus. I want to consider Jesus. I want to think about Him. have him on our mind and on our hearts, and just think about how good this is, how blessed we are, what God has done for us, how our relationship with him is different than any other relationship that any believer in any religion can have at any time. That there's some differences in these, and these are huge differences. Here, let me just give these to you. I want you to reflect on his ministry, and I want you to reflect on his resurrection, and I want you to reflect on the thing that we need to know, you know, more than anything, and that is that we have this eternal message to share with all of the world. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus was different in how he acted and interacted with people. I was walking down the street of Addis Ababa one day. I was by myself, and I was going to send some emails at a local motel, and all of a sudden, I was just aware of this rock. It's really a big rock, and it hits me in my shoulder and glances off my shoulder and kind of ricochets off my chin and then falls to the ground. And I turn, and I mean, I'm in the middle of dozens, maybe even hundreds of people walking down this road, and I see this man over beyond the sidewalk, and it was obvious to me, and I can't remember exactly how it was obvious or why it was obvious, but it was obvious that he had lobbed this stone at me, and my first thought was, you know what, I need to go over there and do something, say something, confront this fellow, beat him up. I don't remember what all was going through my mind. But all of a sudden I stopped, and later on, talking to one of the missionaries there, he said that local militant Islamic people, he said they keep up with who the Christian missionaries are in this town, in this city, and who is coming to visit them. And he was sure that this person knew who I was, and that you know, I wasn't just the unlucky one in the middle of a group, but that he was probably throwing this at me. And I thought, you know, we're here. These missionaries are here to bring goodness and service and the light of the universe to this community. And people oppose that. They did Jesus too. I mean, just think about it. You're talking about when Jesus says this exclusive phrase that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to God, no one pleases God unless they come through me. Look at his ministry. Mark chapter 2 verse 16 says, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a Savior, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Have you ever noticed that in different than any other religion in the world, the people that others despise, Jesus loved. To the people that others didn't think were worthy, Jesus accepted. When others caught people in adultery, they wanted to stone them to death. Jesus wanted to offer them forgiveness. When Jesus saw the disciples fearing for their life, for the storm was overtaking the boat, he walked on water and calmed the storm. When Jesus encountered people that were mute, that could not speak, he gave them a voice. When he was in the presence of a leper, he reached out and touched them. He did not shun away from them. He turned water to wine. You know, on and on we go. He raised a lifeless friend's body back to life. Here, think about this. Jesus' critics never criticized the miracles he performed They just ask him to stop. You ever thought about that? I mean, they never criticize Jesus' ability to perform miracles. They just didn't want him to do them because his miracles took away from their ability to be who they wanted to be to the people. And here's the thing, folks. Some of you here this morning, you're miracles. Matter of fact, I would say that all of us here today that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we are a miracle. And we should never think that we get heaven, that we get eternal life, that people that follow other religions of the world, that they will not be damned simply because all roads lead to the same place. It all has to do with what we think about Jesus Christ. Consider his ministry. Consider how he treated people and how he says that we are a new creation. You ever notice that we're not a better version of the old me or old you, but that we're different. Paul says that we are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Today I would just ask you to consider the difference and how Jesus ministered to the people that were around him. Now, I want you to reflect on something else, and that is on his resurrection. Reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he said, "Father, forgive them," how he said that it is finished, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." I mean, think about the centurion carrying the cross for Jesus to be crucified on. Think about the words that were spoken at the foot of that cross when they said, "Surely he is the Son of God." Reflect on his resurrection and how that is different than all other religions. Folks, listen, this is what sets apart all of the religions of the world. The difference that they have with the person of Jesus. All the other religions of the world, you can still go to the tomb, to the grave, where their leader, where their founder is buried. But Christianity is different. Because as Peter said in Acts chapter 3, in verse number 15, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." We are witnesses of this. You know, when I think about it, says, you know, we are witnesses of this. You know, you had the Apostle Thomas, who was a doubter, who Jesus appeared to. And then Thomas literally gave his life as a martyr for what he knew was true. Don't you think that if he hadn't experienced the resurrection, that the doubt would have been confirmed rather than him living the life that he lived after he experienced Jesus Christ? You see, folks, they claim that the disciples took the body of Jesus in that first century. You know, do you think that if that was true, that the Roman guards would not have produced that body at some point? You know, you have the testimony of the guards. You have the disciples and the life that they lived post-resurrection. The enemies of God would have loved to have produced the dead body of Jesus. And even the biggest skeptics of our day, when you ask them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they don't deny that he lived. They don't even deny that he died. They don't deny that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. They just haven't gotten to the point where they understand that no one's ever produced his body post-resurrection. Listen, folks, as a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the biggest things that we stand on is how the stone was rolled away 3 days after Jesus died. I mean, do you really expect any rational thinking person to believe that 11 small town, uneducated, average men despise this most elaborate and deceptive ruse and pulled it off and kept it secret and propagated that message to the point today that, 2,000 years later, that there are more than 2 billion believers in Jesus Christ in the world in which we live? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that you and I, that we need to hold on to and understand that no other religion in the world can claim such a claim. Thomas doubted, and he historically has said that he became an evangelist to India. That he was sent out and did an amazing work for Jesus Christ post-doubt. So, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He said to the disciples there in the Gospel of John that we know that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And if we believe that, then we also need to reflect on this message that has eternal consequences. Listen to Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. It says that we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. It's true for all who believe, no matter who we are. You see, the world seems to want to criticize our faith because we talk about this exclusive salvation that is found through Jesus. But here's the thing, folks. If Jesus is who He said He was, if He did what is recorded that He did in the New Testament, if He rose from the dead and ascended to the Father and said, I'm going to come back and take you to be with Me, and then if He said at the end of that I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through Me. If Paul in the New Testament spent his life trying to get people that believed in other gods, other religions, in other ways to accept this way through Jesus Christ, you and I need to do the very same thing. But you see, folks, it's different. It's different between religion and a relationship. Religion is about what I do. A relationship with Christ is about what He's done. Religion is about me and about me obeying, about me doing things that please God. But a relationship is about what Jesus did, and it's about Him and about His grace and mercy and His forgiveness that He gives each of us. You know, religion says that if I obey, God will love me. But a relationship with Christ is all about God loving us. Therefore, we want to obey. So you see, folks, here's where we are this morning. This is where we are this morning. We have to understand the difference between obligation and devotion. Do you know the difference between those two? Obligation and devotion. You know, back when I was a kid, one of my jobs as a youngster was to carry buckets of coal in to heat our home. When I was very young, our home was heated by a coal furnace, and by fireplace, actually, where we burned coal as well. And as a young boy, one of my responsibilities was to bring coal into the house in these buckets. And man, I hated that job. And I mean, I just despised it. But in more times than I can remember, you know, my family woke up, my sisters woke up, you know, my brother was before me, but after he was, you know, grown and everything, and it fell back to me, our family would wake up not as warm as we should be because I had not done what I was responsible to do. And I remember my mother, she would try to make me feel guilty. She would try to, you know, beat me into submission. Not really, but you know what I mean. You know, she tried to, you know, guilt me into doing this. And, you know, I would just do everything that I could to not do it. And I remember actually seeing my mother carrying in a bucket of coal because I had failed to do it. And you know what, folks? My heart was so dark, and my spirit was so out of tune with who I should have been. That didn't bother me at all. Because you know, a lot of times when we feel obligated, we don't have a proper attitude. But if we can move from obligation to love, in other words, we don't do good works so God will love us, but God loves us, therefore we desire to do good works. When we can move from obligation to love, the relationship changes dramatically. And you see, that's what I think our message is to the world. Is that, listen, we do not do this out of obligation. I mean, Jesus' whole message to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law was that, you know what, you do the things that you think are right, but you do them for all the wrong reasons. But if we come to understand what God did for us in the person of Jesus Christ, and if we consider, you know, if we reflect on this life of Jesus and on the things that he tells us in his word, that, you know what, his ministry was defined by his love and grace and mercy towards people. His resurrection was his victory over death to show us and to teach us that we will live forever. And if we understand that and get that in our minds and hearts, and then we have this eternal message that when people die without Jesus Christ, that it's not that Jesus Christ sends them to eternal punishment, but it's their failure to accept Jesus for who he is and that he is the only way to eternal life, that we lose out in the end. So listen, folks, let's don't let the world thinking that all roads lead to heaven. Let's don't allow that to make us step back from a boldness to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God didn't say that, and he certainly doesn't want us to live that way either. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful, tough, hard-hitting word that says that you are the only way. That, Father, you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, you are the pathway. You are the roadway. You're the pathway, Lord, that we must take to spend eternity with you. That, Lord, you are the truth. that, Father, there's lots of other things in this world that are partially true or somewhat true, and probably every religion in the world has some things that are truth, but that you are the only one that is truth. And Lord, I pray that the eternal message that you gave to your disciples and that you've commissioned us with as well, that, Father, that we would take that message to a world that, and that we need to share, Lord, with people that they will live forever, either in your presence or absent from your presence. And God, I just pray that we would want everyone that we love, everyone that we care about, even, Lord, the strangers that we meet in this world, that we would desire for them the same thing, Lord, that we want for ourselves. And that is, Father, salvation in you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, bless us to that end. Encourage us, Lord, as we sing now and as we make the decisions, Lord, that we need to make for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.